This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
Good question. Allison on the phone, she's wondering, what do you do when you get a gift from somebody all of a sudden and you didn't expect it and you don't have something selected for them?
To give to them because you didn't think you were going to be exchanging gifts.
Exactly. That's a great question. So, Allison, just let me, before I answer the question about what you should do, thank you for asking for my advice. What would you do in that situation?
I guess depends if I have enough time to run and buy them something. Nope. Sometimes I'll just be gracious enough and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, here's what you do. I'm very practiced at this. I'm very hyper aware of everything in my environment.
What?
Everything.
Well, since when?
So if Sherry's somebody I don't know that well and she comes in and gives me a gift, I'm already eyeing something to the right that I can grab and give to her. Bam. There.
Okay, so he's just handed me a wireless mouse and said, Merry Christmas.
Computer mouse. So I'm always aware.
Now, who does this belong to?
That I can give you a gift. It's owned by our syndicator. But I can grab something in my immediate vicinity and give it to them.
Hmm.
So it's like, oh, I got a gift for you, too. Bam.
Okay, well, keep that in mind, Allison.
Thanks, Brant.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
So Allison gets me, but Sherry doesn't. Isn't that interesting?
That's fine.
Last night was a mile mark in holiday TV programming.
How so?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
50th anniversary.
Oh, well, look at that.
And you know, just take a step back, look at that show. Gets criticized a lot.
It does?
Yeah, just because it seems campy. I think it's a really good show. I really like that show. I like the whole thing.
What stands out to you, the whole thing?
Herbie wants to be a dentist. I think that's cool. I like the silver and gold song. Burl Ives is in it, singing as a snowman at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Then it gets weird with the Yukon Cornelius character and the abominable snowman.
Yeah. These are the reasons why it's criticized.
I love it all. Okay. All of it. I like the Island of Misfit Toys. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah.
All of that stuff.
Okay.
That's one great show they put on.
Kudos.
They don't get the credit that they should.
Of Rudolph.
That's a real good show. We were talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. 50th anniversary was last night. That's a great show. A show that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Frosty the Snowman.
What?
What in the world?
Why is that? Now tell me why Rudolph would be okay and Frosty would not be.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you saw Frosty the Snowman?
That's a good question. Maybe 4 years ago.
Really?
With my
that
niece,
recently?
Maybe. Yeah, yes.
That's a weird. The evil guy in there?
Uh-huh.
What's his name? The Burgermeister? Whatever.
I can't
that
remember.
Sense.
Yeah.
Am I thinking of the right show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And isn't the kids, it? Here's what I don't get.
Right.
And they're wearing coats.
Uh-huh.
That go down, you know,
right.
Long enough to cover them somewhat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
No pants. It's snowy out. I don't understand that.
So to you, that makes less sense than a talking reindeer.
Why would you have a thick coat on?
Okay, I see.
It doesn't make any sense.
I see.
And it's just weird. It's really, I'm surprised. I'm really disappointed. I don't want to say disappointed in you, but that is a bad...
You're disappointed in me because
that is a bad show.
I think Frosty is okay and not Rudolph. Okay.
It is not okay. I implore you, as my sister...
To revisit
and watch
reconsider.
That and reconsider, please. This is going to sound like... I don't know. Like, I'm making this up, just saying it. It sounds like something somebody would just say. But I'm not just saying it.
He's not just saying.
Just saw this list of 14 things your dad wants for Christmas. And it's like a $600 watch and a fancy duffel bag. I don't want a watch. I don't want a duffel bag.
Okay.
It sounds like I'm making this up. I just want time with my family.
Really?
Yes.
No gift. Or that is the gift.
I mean, I don't mind getting a gift, mm-hmm. but I really can genuinely say that. I think I remember hearing my grandparents say that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need anything. I think I'm there.
That's probably a good place to be.
I think it is. And yeah. I really mean it. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't mind if they get me something. I didn't think of that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. You know, but I'm there. It sounded boring to me as a kid when my grandparents said that.
But your kids are growing up and your son's in college and you're starting to see them kind of drifting off to their own lives.
Yep.
And so
I just want to hang out. That's
oh boy.
It. That's all
you're,
I want.
You're tearing up again.
No, I'm not. That is false. Do not pay attention to this woman. Yeah, I think kindness gets a bad rap. It's actually in the Bible, there's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. It's like, if God is in your life and he's growing you in certain ways, one of the ways will be you'll become more kind. And I always thought, well, that sounds kind of boring. I've just never set out to be kind. Like, that's my goal as a man. I want to be a kind man. Well, that's probably not a good conception of kind. I actually saw a different definition of it that's more accurate to the way the Bible's using it. And I love this. It says, the word kindness describes the ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. I really like that.
Boy, that's good. That is good. Yes.
Act for the welfare of the very people who are taxing your patience. Now we're not talking about just general niceness or neutrality and just, oh, I'm not going to bother anybody. Nothing like that. The willingness to act for the welfare of the people who are bothering you.
And that's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, because if it's just niceness, I can drum that up.
Anybody can. Some people are just nice by nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be nice by nature, avoid conflict. This is like actually entering into the people who are bothering you and looking out for them. That's impressive. Merry Christmas. My name is Brant. Sherry is our show's producer. And if you're new to the show, it may explain some things like, this guy's odd. I have Asperger's syndrome. I'm glad, actually. It's a long story, but I'm on the autism spectrum. I've been diagnosed with this. My son is, too. The reason I bring this up, Alicia's on the phone, and she works with kids who have Asperger's, which I absolutely love that. So she got started listening to the show.
Yeah, I was just listening, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I just love your approach and how everything was. I can't even really explain it. But then what I did is I went in and I looked at your I Am Second. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. The video. Mm-hmm. And then I read about you having Asperger's and all that, and I'm like, no wonder I felt so connected. I can tell you, I walk into Walmart or Target, and I'm like, I have like this Asperger radar, and I'm like, oh, he has it, and I'm like, I just want to walk over and just carry on a conversation, and we connect, and I literally, like, I mean, I don't know, it gives me chills. Like, these little kids that I'm working with, I sometimes can't get them to look at me, but when they look at me, I want to say, I see you, because I can see, I can see. I mean, that's really only those two words. I know, I connect, So I knew after I had heard you on the radio, I'm like, oh, no wonder I felt, it was like I've heard
you know what?
People on the radio.
That is such a blessing, because I feel the same way. I have the radar, and I'm secure enough as a man now that it's neat, because those are my people, and they feel like they have no people. So they're like, well, I'm just some kind of weirdo. No, you're not a weirdo. You're the people I prefer. Like, I don't. Exactly. Not only do I not reject you, you're like, I get you. And that is such a relief for somebody to be understood, for someone to have somebody like you who understands them, because everybody else, you're constantly failing socially. You're constantly sending off the wrong signals, and to have somebody go, no, I know who you are and I love you. Like, oh my goodness, what a relief.
Since we have Alicia on the line and she helps people with Asperger's and helps them with their social skills.
Yeah.
Alicia, can you help Brant on the phone, his phone skills?
Huh. Brant, do you want to do some role playing here on the phone?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Right. But
this is good.
Sherry, what is my problem? Like, you're convinced I have a problem on the phone, which I do, but what would you call it? Like,
you, as prolific as a communicator as you are, it sounds like you have no idea what to say next. Like, and you have no idea what's coming. Like, you just sound really, really, really uncomfortable.
I don't know. Okay, right. Okay, all right. So, let's say I'm calling.
Okay.
It's Alicia, right?
Yes.
Say I'm calling Alicia. Uh-huh. And I have to tell her to bring chicken to church.
Yes.
For the big
good.
Potluck.
Okay, good. This is good.
So, it's my job to call you. And so, ring.
Hello?
Hi, Alicia. This is Brant.
Hi, Brant. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, could you bring some chicken to the church for the big potluck?
Sure. What kind of chicken should I bring?
I don't know, Alicia.
Fried.
Yeah, this is an issue not just for people of Asperger's syndrome, but like a lot of people, social space issues and stuff. A lot of these social skills.
People struggle with.
Yes. Alicia's actually teaches this to people.
See, that's what we work on all the time. We work on that. I take a group of people to Target every other Friday, and we work on, and these kiddos are 15 to 18, and we work on, you know, moving out of the aisle when somebody else is coming. That's and so I mean, all awesome. That stuff. But you know, that we are, you know, we kind of take, I guess, take advantage of the fact that we have that built into our brains, right? But then sometimes that's not so easy for people to kind of look up and be aware that I'm about to bump into somebody or I'm in their way.
Why are you embarrassed?
We went to a movie last night. They have a long, narrow, dark hallway to get into the theater.
Right.
Like you pick the theater, but then you have to go through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife grabs me because I was following these two old ladies. She's like, "You're way too close. Stop it." I'm like, "But I'm just in line." Like, "But we're the only ones. You can't be a foot behind two ladies."
I can totally picture that.
Oh, I hate that. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't like it, but it's honestly because I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
That I have to be called out.
So the question becomes, how do we get Brant to your class, Alicia?
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's got their faves, the holidays. I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Brown's good.
A lot of people love It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's great. I started a society of people who don't get it. Like, we don't hate it, we just don't get it.
Why did you feel the need to start this society?
Because we feel marginalized and hated. We meet in a bunker because people get so angry about it. But I say to you, honestly, I get it. It's got some good things in it. And but it doesn't mean you have to love it, but you can. It's wonderful. It's
people great. Can be a little militant about
they
it.
They can. And let it be your tradition. Now, Michael, you grew up not liking it or something. Why don't you like it?
For me, that I was forced to watch it every year growing up as a child. That's what makes it awful. Just the tradition of it.
Now, I just saw it this weekend for the first time.
You did?
I did. This is the first time I ever saw it.
What do you think?
Wow.
I could not get through it. When Brant said he didn't like it, I thought, well, then, and no offense though, but I thought, well, normal people will like it. So,
no offense taken.
Okay, good.
None whatsoever.
But then I watched it and I was like, he's right. They're just screaming.
They're
all
yelling.
The time.
The whole time they're yelling.
The whole time, Brant.
Yeah. Hey, you're not work. We're standing right next to you, dude. You don't need to be yelling like that. Well, this is going to be one of the best things we've ever... Hey, I'm right here. Dude, shh. They have this list of 18 things that people don't like on an airplane. Like, that annoys them. I mean, that's a pretty long list. Some of them are, let's see, there's rear seat kicker. That's number one.
Okay.
They don't like you when you kick the seat. They don't like inattentive parents. That's number two.
Mm-hmm.
People who smell bad.
Oh.
That's number three. Here's my thing. I see this. I didn't think about all this stuff. There's 18 of them.
Okay.
Before I saw this list, but now I'm like, can I do all 18 on one flight?
So this has become a to-do list for you.
Right.
Great.
I need to kick the seat, be inattentive to my kids, smell bad, be a chatty Kathy.
Okay.
I could do that.
Yeah, sure.
Carry on too much baggage, hog the armrest. Recline my seats, bring pungent smelling food on board, grab the back seat of somebody else, be too affectionate with my wife, remove my shoes, and then switch seats.
Okay.
And once
you conquer that.
All on one flight.
It's good to have goals.
If you are traveling for the holidays, you're on a flight, a lot of people don't like the chatty Kathy. In fact, almost 70% don't like it when people talk.
Mm-hmm.
That figures, because that's the only time, honestly, that I feel like, now here's a good place to talk.
In any other social circumstance, what I know of you is, you're just not that person. You're not that person that's going to strike up a conversation.
Right. And I think I've pinpointed it. The reason why is I always don't know when we're supposed to leave.
Okay.
Same thing with the phone. When are we supposed to get off the phone? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And how do I initiate this or not or what? There's always that stress.
Mm-hmm.
On a plane, we know when it's over.
Really?
No, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to pick up on any social cues. I know when the plane lands and we get off the plane.
So you're going to talk the whole flight is what you're saying?
Possibly. I feel like I have a chance here to get some ideas across and listen to somebody and really get to know where they're coming from and learn from them.
Well, that's good.
I'd love that.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't. And in any other circumstance, I can walk up to anyone and start a conversation. I'm fine with all of that socially.
Man.
On the plane, I don't.
That's too bad because you have so much depth to offer people.
Well, thank
you. There's a chance for them to have to hear you out. But maybe you make those occasions enough. Off of airplanes.
I do. Off of airplanes, I make people hear me say, let this person be okay.
This is your one chance to go, you don't have to hear me out, but you will everywhere else. One of the great things about the Christmas story. Oh, there's so much there. But one of the great things about it is that the first people who got the announcement that a child was born and it was the best news in the history of humankind. They got this huge announcement. Lowly shepherds. They got the royal treatment. God chose them. That's wonderful. We've talked about this before. Think about this, about what it means about who God favors. He goes to the lowly shepherds to make the announcement. At the end of Jesus' life, the last person that he's having a private conversation with, and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise, is a thief who is getting the death penalty. He's being administered the death penalty. Jesus turns to him while he's being put to death by the authorities and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know who the first person was who laid eyes on the resurrected Jesus? A former prostitute. This is not happenstance. This is who God has a heart for, and he is communicating to us, regardless of what your background is, whatever you're caught up in now, you feel like, oh, I'm irredeemable. I am so dirty. I am so messy. He's sending a message very clearly. Oh, I'm not important. No. To you, you're first in line. First in line. First one to enter into paradise today with me, a thief. First ones to get the news, lowly shepherds. First one to see the resurrected Christ is a woman of ill repute. That's not a mistake. God knew the message he was sending. Hey, honest question. Think about this. Do you reckon that the shepherds, we were just talking about them, when they got the news about, I mean, the sky is filled with angels and they're singing and they're telling them, look what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon right before that they were feeling real spiritual?
They could feel it coming.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Or were their minds elsewhere? Maybe even thinking thoughts that were immature or sinful.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going on in the minds of a guy?
Right.
You know, he's out, you know, has time on his hands. He's just thinking, you know, when you're a shepherd, you're just sitting around. And yet, God chooses these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that they went and purified themselves and got just right. And now everything's good. And yet, he still chose them.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
I think about this for us. Like, a lot of us honestly think, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not clean enough, God can't use me.
Mm-hmm.
What he's looking for is a humble heart, and that's it.
And obviously these guys at least had that.
Yeah, they at least had the humble heart.
To receive it.
To receive
what was going to be said.
Exactly. He chooses people who can be a mess. Make no mistake about it. But I just kind of love that, because if you're not somebody who naturally... Some people just exude spirituality and others of us don't. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come by me naturally, but I love the reassurance that I get from seeing these stories. We're going, you know what? God loves and chooses people like me anyway.
Just something to think about. Maybe nobody else cares about this, but if I call you and it's like... The message is, well, hello, you've reached Bob. Please leave a message after the... Bob, I need you to know that I haven't reached you. Because if I had, I wouldn't have to leave a message. It's the,
and you know that I haven't reached you. That's why you've left this recording.
So don't say you've reached Bob, because it's actually, you know, that's only going to be heard when people have it.
So it's just not true, Bob.
Something to think about, Bob. Sometimes you might feel super spiritual. Sometimes you don't. And some people exude, like we were talking about before, like you just exude spirituality. You can just tell they just got. And then others of us are going, man, I'm missing something
because
I don't feel that way. Very rarely. Something's wrong with me.
And that can be hard in church, because even if people aren't feeling spiritual, you have the pressure of trying to act like you are. Everyone has this kind of template of how they're acting. And if you don't feel that inside, and you have no idea that the other person doesn't feel it inside either, because they're good at acting it out, mm-hmm. you could start feeling like a fish out of water.
Yeah, and maybe like I've just blown it, like God has abandoned me or something, because clearly I'm not having the same experience
these
other people are having.
He's with all these people, yeah.
Please know, and this is from me talking to people for a long time, including like guest speaking at churches and mm-hmm. asking that question, mm-hmm. how many of you during that worship service, which was great, the band was great, everything's great, you weren't feeling emotional about it?
Mm-hmm.
More than half.
Oh, wow.
So you're not on your own.
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed, and I love this about God, he's so good that if you are spiritually poor in that way, like you don't have much spirituality to offer, you just don't feel it like some people, mm-hmm. if you want to associate spirituality and feelings, he still loves you. He'll still use you because what he values, what I can tell from mm-hmm. reading these stories, he just values obedience,
mm-hmm.
faithfulness. It might be dry-eyed faithfulness, no swirling organs, no band repeating the chorus, none of that. You're just obedient, and he values that. I can see it, and if you have emotions, wonderful, but if you don't, you're in the club too. It's a beautiful Christmas song. We wrote it here on the show just to help Sherry, honestly, because you have relatives or friends who mm-hmm. come over and
both.
They don't know when to leave.
Right, and but, I don't want to be rude and say, hey guys, right. the party's over.
So I thought, well, I'll design a song. You can put it on your playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And then at any time, you just slip that in the playlist. And then
then they know.
I'm the bad guy.
Right.
So anyway, this is called Get Out. It's a touching Christmas ballad. Kind of winged it. Didn't warm up.
But so it's powerful. Flat, no, it's powerful right. nonetheless.
Okay, here we go. It's called Get Out by request. Here we go. Here. A little something like this. Kind of heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
Christmassy. Feels like the holidays because
yeah,
there's bells
nice.
In it.
Yeah.
Here we go. The lights turned off on my Christmas tree. We've wrapped up our party. We already ate. Now it's just late. But yet you linger here.
That's good.
I see you looking in my fridge after eating all my chips. Seriously, if you really love me, you'll start doing as I say. Get out, or I'll call the cops this Christmas.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I'll really do it. I'll really call the cops.
Oh, wow.
Don't think for a second that I'm bluffing.
Yeah.
God bless, but get your stuff on out of here. Christmas doesn't mean you get to stay forever and eat for free. And since you didn't notice when I up and started cleaning, instead you started playing with my PS3. Here's a spoken word thing here. It's powerful.
Okay,
I'm gonna start
okay,
doing
go
it.
Ahead, yeah.
Christmas. Just the word takes us back to that original beautiful story when there was no room at the inn,
mm-hmm.
the guests were not welcome. What must have that felt like?
Mm-hmm.
To not be welcome. Huh. I'll be. Anyway, this Christmas, there was room at the inn, but now time's up. Because the party ended like 2 hours ago. No more peppermint tea. The next thing you get is pepper spray right in the face. So start walking toward that door right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Get out. Hit the road. Get lost before I call the cops and
Merry Christmas.
Whoa.
Something like that.
Wow.
Just slip that in there.
Okay.
I'll be the bad guy.
All right.
So with Christmas coming up, if you have a dog, apparently you're going to buy your dog a present. The vast majority of pet owners will buy their dogs presents. I don't get that at all. I will not do that.
You're not going to buy Nige or Arwen a
no
gift?
No way.
Oh, Brant.
It's constant giving the whole year. When do they flip the script and ever do anything for
us?
Are
we going back to the antlers?
Well, they should. Okay. I want them to wear antlers, but like it's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Veterinary bills, mm-hmm. walking them several right. times a day.
Mm-hmm.
They bark their heads off.
Your dogs bark
right.
their heads off.
They don't. I'm not going to, at the end of the year, be like, hey, thank you guys for doing all that.
Here's a gift.
No.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.